Can you stick around for a while, Gus? Trey asked, in a syrupy voice. You know, just in case.
Sure, I can do that.
I forgot to put on some tunes. I've got a soundtrack all queued up.
I'll take care of it.
You're the boss,
Trey repeated, his voice scarcely a mumble now. Gus took his time turning on the sound system, tweaking the treble and bass, adjusting the volume. When he was finally satisfied with the levels, he checked on Trey. He was unconscious, but still breathing, which was a goddamn miracle considering the amount of high-quality dope he just pushed. He sat down on a velvet-covered chair and gazed up at the hideously ugly painting hanging above the fireplace, thinking that beauty truly was in the eye of the beholder. But did anyone really think that that painting was beautiful? Or was it only beautiful because it was so valuable? Trey had hinted on more than one occasion that it was worth twice as much as the house, which was a notable claim, since the current market value of the place was at least $4 million, maybe more. He also had some very cool pictures hanging in other rooms, so they probably weren't as valuable, but Gus liked them. In his opinion, one of them should be hanging above the fireplace instead. He closed his eyes for a moment and imagined himself living up here in the West Hills above Sunset Boulevard. Not with a depraved waste of skin and air like Trey, but with a few nubile young ladies. They'd spend sun-kissed days sipping margaritas by the pool and continue the party until the sun came up. Movie stars and rock stars would drop by to gush about his exquisite taste in art and the amazing sound system. Gus would modestly deny any credit for the shitty artwork, explaining that it had come with the house. But he would take undeserved credit for the sound system because it was truly amazing, the best part of the place as far as he was concerned. It was an audiophile's wet dream, and right now it was piping in Johnny Cash's cover of the Nine Inch Nails song Hurt, a paean to heroin addiction, an oldie but goodie that would never go out of style. He was startled out of his unattainable fantasy when Trey stirred a little on the adjacent sofa and started making unpleasant retching sounds. Gus jumped out of the chair and touched his neck. His pulse was weak and thready. Are you in there, Trey? He shook him, sloshed some water on his face, slapped him a few times. His eyes sprang open, empty and unfocused, but not entirely without a remedial understanding of his dire situation. He watched as Trey's arm moved spasmodically toward the cocaine-dusted coffee table, toward the Narcan syringe, the overdose antidote he always kept close at hand. Right now, it was impossibly out of reach. In the background, Johnny Cash's voice narrated abject dissolution in a dark, warbling bass, opining about an empire of dirt. Gus saw genuine fear and desperation in Trey's face, and he snatched the Narcan and held it up. I think you need this. There was a pathetic flicker of hope in the roomy eyes, and Gus committed that to his scanty list of precious memories as he flung the syringe across the room with explosive rage. Oops, sorry about that. The flicker of hope died, replaced by confusion and betrayal. Trey made some more unpleasant sounds and his arm dropped. Gus knelt close to him and watched his eyes ping-ponging back and forth in their sockets as they tried to bring his face into focus, tried to comprehend. You don't remember me, do you? No? Well, I guess it's not important anymore. Trey wasn't looking so good. In fact, Gus was pretty sure he was finally dying. So he sat down on the sofa next to him, placed his hand on the bony shoulder, and waited to feel it. It wasn't exactly peaceful. No death was, because the true purpose of life was fighting death at all costs, and the body did it right up until the bitter end. But it was still far better than he deserved. Fortunately, hell would balance the scales. That was why it was there. And really, there was no reason to unduly torture someone bound for hell.
Trey?
Gus jumped off the sofa and gaped at the scrawny,